So, I don't know what it is that you guys worry about. Just stop and think for a minute. You know, what are the things that cause you maybe high anxiety, that make your heart feel like it's beating so fast that you're going to lose control? What are the problems that you're trying to solve and you just can't stop thinking about them? We all have something to worry about, right? I think you probably could all put your hand up to say there's something that you've worried about today, tomorrow, or last week. So, not sleeping seems to be a theme for me. Well, staying up late. Sometimes when the worry is so big, I can't sleep. Who is with me? Okay. And so, there was one night, I felt that there was this verse, the second part of the verse going through my mind, whatever is true, whatever is noble, all that kind of going through my head. And I was worrying about some things. We're on holidays, so I shouldn't be worrying, right? But there were things going on in my head. There were possible life changes. I was applying for another job. Didn't know what was going to happen, whether I'd get it, whether I wouldn't get it, what would happen if I did. Did I really want it? Didn't I? Okay, I'm letting you into my head a little bit here, aren't I? So I got out of bed and I got this scripture out. And something in me just went, hang on a minute. I wonder, I've been thinking a little bit more about, you know, what comes before this, before scriptures, and what comes after the scriptures when God gives them to you. What are the context in the, of them? And so I kind of just smiled to myself when I went and read verse 6 before it, to do not be anxious about everything, because that is another scripture that I felt that God has been giving me in my mind. So I'd be when I'm worrying about stuff, I'd have that scripture there, and then I'd have the second part of the scripture there, but I never actually put them together. And so when I read it, it was like, wow, these things go together. I wonder what God is trying to say here. So the first of all, I want to just start with, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Sorry, I think I've got that. Yep. There we go. So how obvious does it seem here for Paul to be telling us that worrying isn't what God wants for us, right? But what I believe he's starting to make a statement, then he's going to tell us how we can help ourselves, how God wants us to help ourselves with this. And I don't know about you, but when someone tells you to do something, our initial reaction is, no, I'm not. No, I don't want to. And so, like here, I think it's funny, like God says, you know, in this is, do not be anxious about anything. And so I think when we first look at that, we have to go, you know, are we going to stop now and continue listening? Are we going to get our defences up and say, well, you don't know what it's like being me. You don't know what I'm going through. What you're asking is like a humongous thing. How can I not worry about that stuff, right? So let's look at this statement a bit more and see what God is trying to say to us and how he's trying to help us to stop worrying, right? So the first one is, but in every situation by prayer. So what is prayer? Prayer. Is it coming to Tuesday night prayer meeting and that's it? No. Prayer is our relationship with God, right? That's how I see prayer. It's for some of you, mostly probably everybody in the room anyway, it's your text message to God. You know, if you've got a problem, he's your friend that you might want to talk to every single part of the day. You know, he's your phone call away. That prayer is not just, oh, I'm going to sit here now, I'm going to have my prayer time, and then I'm going to go and do my other stuff. Prayer is our relationship with God. It's talking to God all the time, all day. And when we're listening, He's talking back. Because he doesn't want prayer to be a one-way relationship where we're only talking to him and he doesn't talk back. He talks to us. We do have to learn how to listen to his voice. So, prayer, our relationship with God, we can tell him everything. So in this scripture, the first key here is he's saying, pray. Tell me everything. He's our counsellor. He wants to know everything. What I've found as a counsellor is that when people come and sit and talk to me, there are some people who are more talkative than others, right? So the really talkative people are the ones who will sit there and they'll talk. They might just say a few things. And at the end, when we come to the conclusion, they go, thanks, you've helped me so much. But I've hardly said anything because as they've talked things through, they've found a solution. But I also believe that when I'm counselling people in the room here, that the Holy Spirit is there too. Even if the people aren't Christians, I really believe that because I'm a Christian counsellor, I've invited the Holy Spirit into that room and he's helping as well. And so that's what God does with us. As we talk to him about stuff, he can also help us to start to come up with some of the solutions. Okay, number two is petition. Sometimes we need a breakthrough. Sometimes there's a problem that can't be solved with just one prayer. Sometimes there are problems in our lives that are ongoing, that do not go away, right? And so God, I think he's saying here in this scripture is to keep on asking him. He wants us to be passionate in our relationship with him. He doesn't, I say to the kids at school, God's not a lollipop God. He doesn't go, God, you know, I need this. And so he gives it to you, gives you your sweet and off you go and you're happy. He doesn't always just give us everything we want. He wants a relationship with us. And you would find when a group of people are fighting for a cause, what do? They might write petitions. They start speaking to other people about it. They start debating. They get really passionate for what they want, right? And they usually don't stop until they have an answer. And that answer might not be what they want to hear, but they've got an answer, right? And even then, sometimes they keep on going, don't they? God wants us to be passionate. He wants us to keep pushing through. He wants us to keep asking for answers. He wants us to keep coming into relationship with him. He wants us to keep praying. And then we see that scripture in Philippians 4:7 come to pass, that as we begin to pour out our heart to God and tell him what's going on, and we accept it, the peace of God will transcend. And he will guard your hearts and your minds. He gives us that peace. But sometimes, have you ever gone, oh, I feel really good now? And then you go, hang on a minute. There's some really bad stuff happening around me right now. I'm not supposed to feel this good. So then you start worrying again, right? So one minute we've accepted God's peace, and then the next minute we've gone back to worrying. And so for us, that's where we have to get into our own heads and realize, okay, I've gone back here now, I need to go back over here. And we get back into that prayer, we get back into that petitioning to God, and we continue to ask for that peace. Because things go around and around and around in our heads when we're worrying, right? Okay, so the next one is with thanksgiving. How hard is it to be thankful when we're stressed and when we're worried and when things are going wrong? It is really, really hard, right? But I think that God is giving us a key here. And that second point there, I think that sometimes he wants us to put aside our whinging and our whining and telling him how bad things are, and he wants us to say, hey, I'm God. I'm your creator. I love you. I want the best for you. And even though that's not happening right now, I have things in store for you. And as we begin to stop ourselves and we begin to pray into the situation as we're telling God what's going on, we start to turn, we remember this with thanksgiving, we start to turn things around and say, okay, God, I thank you. And maybe there's just something little in your situation. Okay, God, I thank you for my kids. I thank you, God, for my house. You know, they might not have anything to do with my worrying, but I start to turn my thoughts onto thanksgiving, onto him, who he is. He's the creator. He's our almighty God. The scripture that says that he has created you in the womb, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. All of the truths that he has about you, for you in your life, will begin to bring that peace that he has for you. So I think also this thanking God thing also helps us to stop dwelling. Because when we're worried, we dwell in our stress. And or we try to avoid what it is that's stressing us out. So, three things there: prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. There's some keys just in that one scripture. And he promises in that scripture the peace. And so we can stand on those promises that he's going to give us peace. So, for myself, over the last 3 years, I've worked as the chaplain at Sunrise Christian School, right? And when I first started, things were going okay the first week. And then in the second week, there I encountered some problems where there were some people who didn't want their kids to talk to me. And for the whole 3 years, it has been something that has been over my ministry at the school, over my work at the school, and has been a point of contention. And there was this one time that I was called into the principal's office, and I never got called into the principal's office before. No, when I was at school, I called into the principal's office to say, here, we have a situation. Here's a problem over this situation again. And last year, I had got to the point where I was so annoyed, I was so angry and I was so sick of this situation that I was ready to quit. I'd had enough. So I didn't say anything then and there. I went away and I festered. And my neck got really sore. I couldn't turn my head. Sometimes these things can be spiritual. Sometimes it can just be stress. Whatever it was, I don't know. I had so many conversations in my mind of what I would say to these people. How many people have done that? What you would actually say, you know. You don't actually say these things, but you have these conversations of what you would say, how you're going to deal with this situation. And, you know, I had conversations going on in my head with the people. I had conversations going in my head with the principal. But that was it. Either it was me or, you know, I'm out. It was, you know, deal with the situation or that's it. I've had enough, right? So my neck got so bad and I've been praying and I've thought, no, I'm coming against this whatever spiritual stuff is happening. I'm not having this. Da, 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 da. And so eventually after 3 days of being in agony, I said, okay, I'll go to the chiropractor, right? And so I went to the chiropractor. He did the adjustment. And then afterwards, the chiropractor is not a Christian, okay? But, well, that I know of. What he said to me at the end, because I used to have these neck problems a few years ago the same way, and they'd gotten better. And he said to me, your muscles have gone back to your past memory and we need to reset this and train your brain to set a new pattern, memory pattern. And in that moment, boom, it was just like, you know, when someone tells you something that, you know, might be offensive or something you haven't heard before and you get that feeling. Well, that's the feeling I got. I was just like, okay, God, you're telling me something here. And just in that moment, I just felt the Holy Spirit come over me. And I felt like laughing. When I got in the car, I was laughing all the way home because God was saying to me that, Kerry, you've let your past memories of how you've dealt with worries and anxieties and these kind of situations, you've let that take over, have control, and now you need to reset it again. So for me, it's like, okay, reset button, zoop. And these scriptures, like I say, these scriptures have been part of my life for a while and for the whole year. Mostly, you know, I'd come up with these. And when I was in those situations over those 3 days of festering and dwelling, I would go, no, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever, da, 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 and then go, no, I'd say this, no, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is noble. So, you know, like I knew I was fighting it. So God has a plan for us and for our lives and to teach us things. And so, yep, I go, okay, God, that all happened. I've learned something really good from that situation. And I've learned that when that stuff comes upon me that I do need to come to Him and not allow myself to dwell so much in those situations, right? And to accept the peace of God. Because that's what He has for us in those stressful situations. He does have peace. We can have peace in that situation, and it's not a bad thing to have it. Okay. So moving on then to the next part of the scripture. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Overall, we need to put our mind on good things. God here in these scriptures has given us strategies on how to do this. He's showing us how we can fight the anxiety, how we can fight the worry. And like me, maybe, you know, you might go up and down in it all, and I still do that. I still do that. But remembering this stuff. And through each one, we need to keep focus on the positives and on God. So, if you've got a difficult situation you're going through and you want to begin to put some of these strategies in place, right? What is true? Start answering these questions for yourself. I found that sometimes the truth isn't the truth in my head. So what I mean is, there might be one or two people who don't like me or have a problem with something I've been doing. And sometimes, my kids, you need to block your ears. No, sometimes I will go, everybody hates me. And so we exaggerate things, don't we? It's like, you know, if we're struggling financially, it's like, well, I'll always be poor. I'm always poor. I never have any money. And so I think it's so important. God has put this stuff here for a reason, that what is true? Well, the fact is that maybe there's only one or two people that have a problem with something I've done, not everybody. And so some of these things can begin to change our mindset. So what is noble? I decided, even though you sort of know half meanings of things in the back of your head, I thought I'm going to look up what is noble. You know, noble is being that of nobility, which is like of a king, of a lord, of a, you know. And so we have noble birth because we are children of the King of Kings, right? And so if there are attacks at your self-esteem, at who you are, this one is a good question to answer. What is noble? Well, I'm noble because God has created me. And it also can mean honourable as well. What is right? Now, this one is a tricky one sometimes because I know that for my situation, I'm like, I am right. I have not done the wrong thing. Right? The way that I see this situation is the right way, okay? But sometimes as well, it's like, well, you know, we might be right and we might be doing the right thing in our situation and somebody else is doing the wrong thing and someone else is treating us unjustly. And it's so easy in this prayer, if you get, you know, if you're answering this question in prayer, God, you know, I'm right, I've done the right thing, how could this be? And then we start dwelling again. And so it's so important to come back to, well, what does God say is right? To try not to focus on the justice of our situation, but the justice of our God, because he is a just God. He will bring justice to our situations. Maybe that might not be today or tomorrow. Maybe it will be in 3 or 4 years' time. And I'm going to finish my school story because it has an ending. So we have to be really careful not to be trying to justify ourselves to God. It's being humble, humbling ourselves and praying to him and giving him the situation back and being willing even sometimes to be wrong. What is pure? What is lovely? What is admirable? So I won't go into all of those, but you know, you could probably sit down and answer some of those questions. So if something is really, really bugging you, get out a piece of paper, write this stuff down, write down the answers to these questions and allow God to turn your focus on to the positives. Or to what he can do. Doesn't mean that the worry has gone away, right? Does not mean the worry's gone away. Does not mean we've got $1 million in our bank account. And even in the worst situations, we can still find blessings. I looked at you, Eli, and I remember that often when we have prayer times, Eli's like, thank you, God, that we live in a free country. I just thought of that just then. Sorry, Eli, to point you out. But we do. We can worship God, can't we? You know, there are things, they might not be related to our situation, but they begin to turn up our positives, our thought pattern around. I've been doing some stuff at school called Mind Up, right? And it's teaching kids. Isn't it Aaron? I've been doing it in Aaron's class. Will you come and help me? All right, come on. I've been doing some stuff in Aaron's class at school about how to train our minds with making mindful decisions. And Aaron's going to help me to teach you. Okay, so I'm going to give you the simplest version, okay? So Aaron, can you remember one of the names of the brain?
Amygdala.
What's another one?
Hippocampus. And the prefrontal cortex.
Aaron, do you remember what the amygdala does? Or what another name for the amygdala? What do you remember? Has something to do with being a security guard. No? Okay, all right. Thanks, Aaron. Give you a clap, Aaron. Thank you, Aaron. So, the amygdala is in our brain, okay? It's a part of our brain and it's responsible for our reactions. So another way to say it is it's like our security guard. So if there's, I always give the kids this example, if there's a spider on the floor, what's your initial reaction? Everybody right now can think of what their reaction is to seeing a spider. Some people scream, some people stomp on it, and some people might freeze if it's a really big one. Or We may have trained our amygdala not to have such an overt response, and we might go, oh, come on, kids, come and have a look at this big spider, which we did the other week when we saw one in the bin in the thing there. And this is one that I've done because I used to be, every time I'd see a spider, I'd freak out. And I thought, this is silly. Caleb can't always be around to rescue me from spiders, right? And so I started to learn to squish the big spiders myself. and one of the days was because there was a massive big spider in Hayden's bedroom when he was a baby and he needed to go to bed. And so I wanted him to go to bed, right? Afternoon nap time. You need to kill the spider. Anyway, so the amygdala is responsible for our reactions to making, so we can, what happens is often there's situations that we just react to like that. It goes through to our prefrontal cortex and we make that reaction. Okay. And so what we've been teaching the kids is that when there's one of these kind of situations that happen, maybe someone's hit them or snatched a toy from them, and you know what kids do, someone snatches something from you, snatch it back, or you yell at them, or you hit them, or you know, all of those things. So that's the kind of work that I've been doing, is trying to, emotion coaching it's called, right? And so it's kind of been interesting for me to learn this stuff doing it at school. When I'm learning as I'm teaching the kids, like it took me about 3 or 4 lessons before I could say the word amygdala without looking at the piece of paper. and to remember what they all did, it's taken a while. But the reason I'm mentioning it now is because our brains have reactions to stuff and we have immediate reactions. And so one of the things we have with worry and with stress and with certain situations, we have a go-to place. We go to a certain spot where we'll worry about it in a certain way, or we'll have a certain stress trigger in our bodies. And so along with this scripture and along with that knowledge I've had, I've been able to go, okay, so that's my initial reaction to that situation. Now what am I going to do about it? How am I going to change that initial reaction to make a mindful decision, right? And through some of my training, there's a training seminar I went to on called emotion coaching, and they talked a lot about kids with trauma and kids who have been through neglect and all that kind of stuff. And they say that often they don't that they're sort of often in reactive situations all the time, and it's difficult for them to control some of the triggers that come their way, because what is real or what is perceived, our amygdala doesn't know the difference between that. So we have to train our minds for what is the real, what is the response to those situations. Did I say that right? Hoping that I'm making sense. So if someone has snatched their toy from them and their immediate reaction is to hit, and they just keep on doing that, And we have to really stop and train our brains to make a different reaction. And so that might be, you might find that something comes along, you might think that you have changed your reaction to that, but then you have the same reaction. So God wants us to keep on coming back to him when that happens, to retrain our minds so that we cannot live with so much worry, hey? Wouldn't that be good? Because he says that in Matthew 6:25 as well, doesn't he? Do not worry about your life. What you wear, what you eat, probably your money. okay. So, my situation that I had at school that I talked about before, where I was ready to go back to the principal and quit, right? I didn't. Filled with the Holy Spirit, I went back and said, okay, I was ready to quit, but I'm not going to, and I'll keep on going, I'll keep on persevering. And so in my heart, I had to say, okay, God, help me to forgive. Help me to move on. Help me to do the right thing. Help me to make the good decisions and to be wise in how I'm working. And it probably wasn't all that long after this that a situation happened where one of the people who were bringing accusation towards me, we had to deal with the situation together. And we had to make a choice to be in unity or not. And we both chose to. And I just, like, it was just this really amazing supernatural situation, and this is I've never encountered this before. And after it happened, we prayed together. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what this person's thinking of me. You know, I'm like, still got all those thoughts in my head. Hope I'm saying the right stuff. Da, da, da. And then after that, I went away, came back, and they came back to me and they said, Carrie, let's forget everything that's happened. Let's move on. And, you know, like, I'm thinking of these animations or, you know, TV, like, if my jaw could have dropped to the floor, like, it would have, and I'm standing there going, okay. And, you know, through my head also some of those things are going, well, why? Why did we have that situation before? Because it was something I couldn't talk about, something that was always shut down, couldn't resolve. And they just said, let's not worry about it, let's just move on. And so in my heart, in that moment, I had to make a decision, yes, okay, I'm going to forgive and I'm going to move on, I'm going to accept this. I have never had that kind of reconciliation before. It was amazing. The feeling that I had in that situation was just like, thank you, God. Like, I now can not only just go, yeah, reconciliation is possible. God, you know, God's in control. But, like, now I know that God has shown me he can be in control. He can make a really bad situation. He can reconcile it. He can do that stuff. He is an amazing God. Okay, so to finish up, I believe that God is very strategic in this passage that he gave to us. Number one, he firstly reminds us that we shouldn't worry, that it's not necessary and it's not helpful to us. And then he begins to give us a process. He helps us by telling us to offload to him, to just lay it all out to him, to let him be our counselor, because he, the Holy Spirit, is our counselor through prayer and petition. Number three, he helps us to start getting our minds in a more positive way of thinking by weaving in some thanksgiving to him. Number four, he promises that this will give us peace. Amen. And then, right, he re-emphasizes all of this by telling us to choose a positive mindset. What is pure? What is right? What is praiseworthy? And all of these are practical ways to help us to trust God in everything. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Who knows that one? Any of the kids know that one? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It's not always easy to serve God, to fulfill our purpose here in life. There are so many worries that come our way. But he does ask us to walk in obedience, and he asks us to hand it to him because he cares. Sorry. Let's finish up with a prayer. Jared, could you play Come to the Altar, please? And as we finish up and as Jared's playing, I just want you to think about, what is it that God had for you today? How can you take this stuff and use it? He is a supernatural God and he wants to bring peace into your heart. And I know, like I said, worry is my middle name. I know it's not easy. I know it's hard. Well, we need to give this stuff to God. So if there's a specific situation that you would like prayer into, feel free to come forward and I can pray with you. Or, you know, wait till later and ask a friend. Because prayer doesn't just have to come from the pastor or the pastor's wife. Prayer can come from anybody. Everybody can hear from God. Everyone has a relationship with God. So let's close our eyes and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and examine our hearts and our thoughts and our minds. Lord, we want to give everything back to you, Lord Jesus. We want to give you all that stuff that concerns us, that worries us, that keeps us awake at night time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe I have a word here for people in two types of situations. The first is that you feel like someone is holding something against you, or that there's an unjust situation. And God is asking you and calling you to bring that to Him. He's asking you to forgive. And then on the opposite end, there's some people here today who are holding stuff against other people in their lives, that they're holding unforgiveness towards people. And God wants to ask you to let go of that. He wants to ask you to forgive those people and to step forward into a closer relationship with Him. Because as you're holding on to those things in your heart, it's beginning to fester and it's beginning to harden your heart and to bring criticism and to bring more stress into your life. He wants to take that from you because He loves you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.